Those uprisings have posed fundamental policy challenges for the Obama administration. The World's Jeb Sharp takes a look.
The change has been swift and dramatic, and the Obama administration has had to roll with the times. Michelle Dunn of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace says there's no question priorities are changing.
The Obama administration came into office wanting to work on the Israeli-Palestinian peace process and engaging with Iran to try to prevent Iran becoming a nuclear power. Those are still important issues, but they've been a bit moved off to the side. So this issue that the Obama administration did not want to take on, the issue of internal politics and human rights in these countries, now has been forced onto the U.S. agenda.
The irony, of course, is that freedom in the Middle East was supposed to be President George W. Bush's agenda, and one that President Obama took pains to distance himself from, but no longer, according to Dunn.
I don't sense that the Obama administration is reacting to Bush anymore. They've been in office long enough, they kind of own their own policy, and they're moving forward with it. I do think that President Obama himself is predisposed to view what happened, at least in Tunisia and Egypt, in a positive light.
But there's no clear new doctrine emerging yet, and it's not a given that the United States will side with the protesters in all cases. Bernard Haykel, professor of Near Eastern Studies at Princeton, sees President Obama as torn between ideals and strategic interests.
I think he identifies with these young people and would like to see them, you know, do well and succeed. But he's being told by some of the more established rulers in the region, especially the ones that have oil, that if you pursue this path, then you will destabilize this entire region, and then, you know, all hell will break loose, and America will suffer as a result of it.
Haykel would like to see more emphasis on strategic interests and more consistency. Instead, he sees a scattershot approach.
Choosing to side with those who want to topple Gaddafi, not knowing what to do in Yemen, and sticking with what we know in Bahrain is really, you know, no policy at all. Sometimes it doesn't make sense.
It may not make sense for a while. But Bruce Jennelson, who's just finished a stint as senior advisor at the State Department, says a couple of things are coming clear. These events reinforce once again the centrality of the Middle East to U.S. foreign policy. And they have made old ways of doing business obsolete.
Some of the old deals that the United States tried to stand by, you know, he may be a bad guy, but he's our guy, and we would give a higher priority to some of the security cooperation over political and economic reform. That's not a bargain that will serve American interests anymore. It's not even a question of saying, oh, values are more important. It's not going to work anymore as a general calculation.
What's more, says Jennelson, the old Cold War impulse to divide the world starkly into us and them, friend and foe, needs to be checked, especially when it comes to political Islam.
We have to be able to differentiate between different forms of political Islam, those that are extreme and are fundamentally threatening to our interests, our values, and our allies, like Al-Qaeda and some others, and those that are here to stay, are part of the political constellation, and that we have to really find ways to work with if we really are committed to processes in these countries that allow them to shape their own political future.
All of this will require a fundamental strategic rethink, says Jennelson. Gone, or at least waning, are the days of presidents for life and absolute monarchies in the Middle East. Michelle Dunn says dealing with a new array of political actors will require doing diplomacy differently.
In a more modern way, I think, in the way that we do it in most of the rest of the world, where it's not a question of sitting down in a smoke-filled room and cutting a deal with one guy. That sort of way of doing diplomacy, I think, is gradually passing away in the Middle East, as it has already in most other places.
Whatever form the diplomacy takes, it's hard to imagine the days ahead won't be defining ones for President Obama's foreign policy. For The World, I'm Jeb Sharp.